But at one time you were delivered.
Yes.
And I believe that God wants us to walk in an area of deliverance. Pastor, are you speaking on that this morning? No. But what I am going to speak on is clearing the mechanism, clearing the debris. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, say written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Say love.
Love.
But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Debris. Have you got that thing up there in the Sister Daisy says, click on this. Would you click on that? See if you can get that up there. That image. If you will, please. How many of you at different times have a hard time with the sermons? I do. I get it before you do. A lot of times I do, yeah. And I have some trouble with it. You know what I gotta do? I gotta get out and pray. Because first it's a lot of things I have to deal with, I gotta deal with my anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You haven't seen my temper.
No.
I was one of those guys with golf. You see that up there? Can you see that? There is a view. You see that? There is a view. However, it could be better, couldn't it? It could be a better view. Say vision.
Vision.
I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Say Spirit.
Spirit.
You have a spirit. Amen.
Yes.
For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. I'm here to tell you that in the last 5 years, while we've been here, God has been doing a magnificent, awesome work. It's not so much about Sister Daisy or myself. It's about you. It's about your family. It's about your loved ones. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We're talking about spiritual things. Say, clear the mechanism. Years ago, I think back down in 2000, the year 2000, I think Kevin Costner came out with a movie. It was called The Perfect Game, something like that. And he was up on the mound and he was pitching. And he was playing a man who, at the end of his baseball career, basically, and he's getting ready to pitch what maybe it'll be his last game. And all through the show, they kept going back to that. They go to his past and they talk about his life and the different things. And he was talking about his family life and the girlfriend he had and soon to be stepdaughter, if you will. If things ever went all the way through, you know, and if, as it goes out as planned, you can see how the story was leading up to this last game in which he was pitching. And he'd get to the mound and he was throwing the perfect game. He got through one inning and two innings and three innings and four innings and five innings and six innings. He's getting up close to the later innings. And as he was pitching, before he would throw a pitch, he'd say this, because he'd hear the noise and see all the people and stuff. He'd say, clear the mechanism. Drown everything out. Okay? And see, I get something spiritual out of a lot of things. That's just ridiculous. How can you get that out of me? You get something out of, that's the way he made me. It came from years ago of me saying, Lord, clear the mechanism. get everything, the debris and everything out of my life so that I can see what plans that you have. So I can walk in your perfect will. It's not always easy to do because there gets to be a lot of clutter.
Yeah.
You see, I believe probably if you look at this picture, hello, that there was a great view earlier. Mm-hmm. Hello. But then things started to grow up around that view. Hello?
Yeah.
We went up to Brookings, was it yesterday morning, because Sister Daisy had some things that she needed to do. You know, it's a woman thing. Something about rummage sales. And Brother Henry, Brother Jared, hey, even Lexi, I didn't want to go. However, I got grandkids, you know what I'm saying? And I really wanted to spend the time, if you will, preparing myself for this morning and this evening. Amen? You see, I have a job to do. I love my job. Say, I love my job.
I love my job.
If you don't love your job, say, Pastor loves his job. Amen. I've got the best job in the world. Amen. There are times that I say, as a young Christian, even sometimes later, when it doesn't seem like I'm getting through, like some of you could probably say today, I would sometimes I would get so angry, I just I'd throw it. None of you ever get like that. Lord, if you don't show me something, and the whole time the Lord's saying, where's your patience? In your patience possess ye your soul. Lord, if you don't do something about my temper right now, my anger, this frustration, I'm going to lose it. And I don't want to be that way in front of my people, in front of my church, especially. Come on now. In front of others that you're wanting me to love. That you're wanting me to help to get through. Hello? The spiritual side. So yes, it affects me. Hello? But it's the greatest job I can do. He's called me to it. And there's times like, how about you? So anyway, I said, well, Lord, I guess I'm going to have to go with the flow again. It's spending time with you. And she said, well, you could take your Bible along. Amen. And I'm thinking, how am I going to clear the mechanism? Are you hearing me this morning? How am I going to clear the debris of my life? Amen. Get rid of all the sounds and all the things that I'm going to see and get down on my knees and pray through. And hello. Some of you are like that, right? Well, nevertheless, not my will, but my wife's will be done. You go back to where the Apostle Paul says, I wish you were men were like me. Most of you ladies who have not read, some of you have not read the words, the thought was here was that he was single. Amen. But he goes on and explains a lot of things that take place. You see, eye has not seen nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. See, church, God's got some things that he has prepared for you.
Yes.
And there's some things you've not seen yet. There's some things you haven't heard yet.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello? So what happens is, well, let me explain. I get up there, and of course the son and the daughter, they're happy about their place in Oric. And now I've been to their place before Dinesh had ever seen it. And I think I probably before Anthony had seen it too. They're up on the mountainside there in Oric, and it overlooks the ocean. And I've seen quite a few pictures of it, but I've been there. I was there 10 years ago. I was there 14 years ago. And I was ministering to this older man, and he gave his life to the Lord up there. After my visitation, 3 or 4 times, maybe longer, more than that, I don't know, but he finally gave his heart to the Lord. So I knew what it was to sit in the kitchen there, or outside of the kitchen in the dining room, and look out the windows at the beautiful view that was there. And he had cattle up there. You could see them up on the hill on top there, 25 acres up on top. He also had a fence down there, so right below there, and I'm thinking, how can they ever get to pop? That's so steep. How can them cows even get up there? But you see, he had a vision. He understood some things. He knew how to keep the debris down. One of those reasons was having those cattle up there. So, and Anthony didn't understand all these things, but he's starting to show me the land. Now, well, I've seen this before, but he said, yeah, it used to be just these 3 large trees here, and you could see better. Hello? Yeah. I said, yes. And I didn't say anything because, hey, he's proud of what he's got, you know. And he wants to buy the place, you know. And he's talking about how much money he could probably get now, you know, for a loan and stuff. And I just listen. Because I'm thinking, oh, son, you don't know all the headaches are going to come with this. I'm looking at the roof, and it was built in 81. I'm thinking, yeah, 30 years. Yeah, it's looking like you're probably going to need it pretty quick, Roger. I can see, you know. I had vision. You see what I said? I could see. Hello. And he had vision too. But I knew what it used to look like 14 years ago. Amen. And I could see all the brush and everything starting to grow up and other little trees and stuff. And I could see. And like the clearing that was up above. And he said, you know, there's a clearing up there. And I'm thinking, where? I knew that there was, because before when I had been there, I could see that there was a clearing up there. But now there's all these little trees and shrubs and all these things that are blocking the view. Come on, somebody say, vision.
Vision.
View.
View, yeah.
Debris. Clear the mechanism. Clear the debris. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
So Daddy starts thinking, well, let's see, how can we get this cleared up? Yeah. You see, God, in his infinite wisdom, knew what I was thinking about what was needed for the church. Hello. He was already preparing me for something, hello, that was about to take place up on a property that I really didn't care to go because I wanted to stay there and spend time with the Lord. The Lord said, put your foot out. Come on. I'm going to take you to a place you know not of, you've not seen, you've not heard, but yet I have. And I get there and I see something different. All the debris. The broken down fence. Hello. All these things that needed to be cleaned up. It's a nice place. All are beautiful. Yeah. But the rug needs replaced. Carpet needs replaced. Hello. The roof probably needs replaced. Hello. What's that? The heater needs replaced. Hello. Are you with me this morning? Can't be done. Yeah. But you see, as a young man, he doesn't understand all the things that are going to be needed, hello, to make that place what it once was 34 years ago, hello. But he's got a vision, hello, to do it. And he's got to get rid of some trees so that he can see the lake back there a little bit better, what's on the lake a little bit better. If you will, if you want to see the ocean, hello, you might have, come on now church, somebody get a hold of this message this morning. Well, I saw a place where a man gave his life to Christ, and that's the number one. We're talking about souls. We're talking about little deer. They're not afraid to walk up through the parking lot in midday. I said, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I look out the window and see it. Even now, they're walking past the church. Why? Because they've heard the word.
They're finding life in the church. Elbert gave his life to Christ there.
You wouldn't have been able to see that a couple months ago. I said, Pastor, what do you mean? Because those windows, you would not be able to see them. Life. Amen. Life. Food for us, too.
That's right. Amen.
25 acres on the hill, and you couldn't see it. There's a clearing up there. Oh, that's right. There is. I remember now. You got to go up around this path. I said, is the path clear? Well, yeah, a little bit. Didn't have the time to go up there. But there was a view. Amen. But if it waits too long, the view will be gone. Leviticus 6, 12 and 13 says, and the fire on the altar, we're talking about the Old Testament here, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. Say, do not put it out, Lord. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn it, the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning. Say, always.
Always.
Be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. You see, God's given me vision. And I don't want to ever go out. If it goes out, I won't be here. If it goes out in your life, you won't be here either. You see, I got to clear the debris. I got to clear the mechanism, if you will. I got to get rid of those things in my life and let the fire come and quench it. Let it consume it. Let it get out of my life. And I have a part in it. I have to put myself in a position, amen, that God can clear it out of my life. I have to. I have to allow the fire to burn on the altar, in which God says, will you place yourself on the altar and leave yourself there? How many of us come to the altar of God, the altar of our heart, but we squirm off it? Huh? Before we ever get out the doors, many of us have already squirmed off the altar. There's times when God has had me pray over different people and they go to sit back down. Hello. Or they come even come up themselves and says, excuse me.
Yeah.
You're not done yet. Yeah. That's spiritual wisdom that comes from on high as the pastor and God begins to speak to me. You ain't done yet. Some people get offended by that. I'm glad Sister Maria didn't get offended today when I said that about, do you mind if I give you a hug? You see, many times we lose out right before the brink of a miracle. Right before. And that's usually the greatest fight. Right before God's getting ready to bless you big time. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Pastor Gary Johnson, who led me to the Lord years ago, I would hear that song. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. God is still on the throne. He'd sing, I could see Jesus in his eyes. Don't tell me I didn't see him, because I saw it. I could see that fire. He didn't know it, but I did. Man, I sit back there and I'm like, whoa. I gave my heart to the Lord. Why? Because I saw Jesus in him. I saw vision. God gave me vision. When you continually allow yourself to be on the altar and allow the fire of God to consume that That thing that's on the altar, you can't help but get cleaned up and get the mechanism cleared up and get the debris out of your life. You can't help it. He said, don't let the fire go up continually to move in that fire. You see, when we move in the fire, the devil can't stay because he can't handle the fire. But guess where he's going to end up? He's going to end up in the lake of fire. You see, it isn't a fire that he made, it's a fire that God made for him.
Right. Amen. Come on,
which you are not a part of. And then if you've given your life to Christ, let the fire consume you now so that it'll consume you later.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You cannot see the view if you have debris in your life.
Right.
We must allow God to move in on us. And you see, once you've done it, once it gets cleared up, so that you can continually see, you say, well, continually see, because you're always going to have something that wants to come and block the view that God wants to give you.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I see souls.
Yes.
I saw one soul up on a mountain that needed to be saved. And now our son and daughter is living in that place. Can't imagine that. Never entered into my heart. It did my wife's. I want that property. It did my wife's. But Lord, you see, I guess we're in the Levitical family. You know what I'm saying? Our kids get the property, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand it, but once we came into ministry, I don't own anything anymore. Hello? Must be because we're in the Levitical family, amen. But we did get to share some of the vision, some of the blessings that you have. Oh, I want you to be blessed. I want you to have vision. I want you to enjoy the view, amen. So let's get the debris, let's get the clutter, amen, out of our lives so that we can see how God sees.
Amen. Amen.
And with proper maintenance, once you get rid of all of it, after the cleansing, will result in continual vision. Yeah. So this morning, as Sister Daisy comes back to the piano, how's your vision? How's your view? Amen? Do we need to clear the mechanism, Lord? Ora haba shield of a corporate sisi abokumaria ki. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, do I have aught with my brother? Do I have aught with my sister? Lord, usually that's one of the first places you start. You deal with our anger. You deal with our forgiveness. The Bible says, forgive one another. Amen. Bearing with one another. Oh, my goodness. I got to bear with this pastor another week. Huh? Come on now. I have to bear with my children as they grow in the Lord. Amen. And I want to help them to grow in the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on. Come on now. You all been there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help Isaac. I want him to become everything that God wants him to become. If he's going to play music, let it be for the Lord.
Yeah.
If Teresa plays keyboard, let it be for the Lord.
Amen.
I've got vision. Where's yours? I've got a view. $3. Yeah. Pastor, I care about that. I care about the Lord. I care about Keith. I was praying for him yesterday. I care about Lexi. I care about who he associates with.
Oh, oh, that's good. So we hear about it.
Yeah. I care about where you're at. I care about what God's doing in your life. Why? Because I see a soul there on the mountain. It might be through music, God will touch him. It might be through a sermon, God will touch him. It might be up on a hill, out there in a prayer. I don't know what it is, but God can touch them. Amen. He could be lying in bed. As Oral Roberts said, 17 or 18 years old, when he had tuberculosis, one of those things that he needed healing from God. If he would have got that healing, he would have died. Amen. But God saw souls.
Yes.
And Oral Roberts had a vision. He became, if you will, one of the modern apostolic ministers of all time. Amen. Billy Graham. They told Billy Graham that he could never preach. I was told some things too. Amen. It's a lie. Comes from the pit. I had to find out from Jesus, just like you all have to find out from Jesus, and many of you really have. I just had to get the mechanism clear.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that